mic check. 1, 2. What you wanna do? Take your favorite record, leave the rest.
Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. When you and I grew up, at least if you're of a certain age, there were musicians who played for kids and ones who played for grown-ups. And there was not much overlap in the styles of music aimed at the two groups of listeners. That has changed in the last decade or two, and now it is not such a stretch for a musician to find his or her feet in both worlds. And that's been good for Nathan Meckel, who finds himself the founder of a band aimed at families called the Happy Racers. Meckel hails from Tennessee, but his most recent project has him collaborating with Wisconsin children's author Barbara Josie, and that brings him to Cedarburg this week. He joined us in Studio C1 to play a few tunes, including the one which he calls the Happy Racers theme song, called Failure Is a Myth.
Yeah, I said failure's a silly myth. Oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Hey, 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 hey. I've been thinking about airplanes.
Nathan Meckel, welcome to Lake Effect. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Did you ever imagine yourself an alt kids performer?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Short answer, no.
So did it take arm twisting to get you into that mindset?
A little bit, and some hypnosis. A little bit. It was definitely a story of like, well, I'm going to try this out a little bit. My dad's in the music business and has worked with some educators and some things that have kind of led me down that road a little bit. And it started out kind of as, well, this is kind of a fun, sort of amusing break from the pop and the alternative and the indie records that I work on as a producer and writer. But then about halfway through, it's like it clicked and I really got it. And it's been just a real free experience to get into.
Well, I was wondering that because there are any number of kids, musicians or musicians for kids who started their careers and still often maintain careers in adult music. What is it that reaching an audience of younger people brings you that playing for more angst-ridden people, might not?
Well, a two-part answer. One part, you know, I had a phase where I was full of angst. That's just no fun. I want to have fun. Two, you know, it's hard to deny any kids just pure energy and excitement for the world and what they're all about and discovering new things. And so, you know, I have two kids that are in grade school and so I'm around that every day. And they're just, you know, it's hard not to – you hear laughter. It's contagious, right? So, you know, that really, it's all kind of about the kids. And when they get pumped up about music and if I can – you know, inspire anybody to want to write a song or play a guitar or turn them on to some rock and roll record, then great.
Do you think of yourself as, for lack of a better term, a gateway drug?
Yeah, I like that. I've never considered myself that, but I love that. I might use that as a status update later. That's great.
Well, and, you know, there must be a little bit of pressure, though, when you think about, you know, you could be the first sort of entree into – you know, sort of more sophisticated music for some kids.
Absolutely, man. That's really where my passion lies. How far can I push the envelope of blurring the lines between is this kid's music, is this family music, what is this, and doing it in a way that's still smart, high quality of the lyrics, melodies, great productions. Absolutely. That's kind of what drives me. It's a challenge to be able to do that.
You mentioned that you have a couple of grade school kids, mm-hmm. and I gather that one of them is at least responsible for the name of this band.
That would be my daughter, Sophia. She's in the third grade. And when this started coming about, like, quite a few years ago, just started, you know, milling. I wrote a song. There was no project or band at any point. I was like, hey, if you ever had a band, what would you name it? She's just like, the Happy Racers. Like, I mean, literally like 3 seconds and it popped out of her mouth. And I went, oh, I'm going to hang on to that. A couple years later, insert band name. We went ahead and branded that long before we even had a record. there was no plan whatsoever. I just get up and make it up every day.
give us a little more background about yourself. Where does this this project, the Happy Racers, fall in the context of your broader career?
Sure. Well, great question. I'd love to know the answer to that. I think it feels like it's the beginning of something pretty awesome. And it maybe even took a year of me sort of denying or hiding or dodging that to finally go, you know, this might be really cool. Maybe I should focus on this more. I'm hoping, you know, one just personal goal. I would love to, you know, I really admire what Randy Newman does, if anybody's hip to what he does in the music world of songs for movies. And I've had, you know, in the pop world, in the regular, quote-unquote regular music world as a writer-producer, I continue to be very active in that. I've had pushing 30 songs that have been in major networks and things like that, but I would love to get the opportunity to do what he's doing.
Do you approach kids' songs any – I mean, obviously the subject matter might be different, but mm-hmm. do you approach the songwriting process any differently when you're writing for a younger audience than you do when you're writing a pop song that an adult audience might be listening to?
I don't. It's still – you know, getting up, getting into that space, get your cup of coffee or whatever and get an instrument and just start making stuff up and singing it. I really don't. I do know that I approach it absolutely the same as if I'm going, hey, this might be something great for Rihanna or this might be great for the Happy Racers. I approach the process the same, but I know that, and I've never been this focused with something, I know it's just a feeling like in my gut, like if I start playing something, like that's Happy Racers. I've never been so focused with something. Like I just know when it feels right. And then I'm on to it.
Well, you have something else from the new record you want to play?
This is a song that I like to play called Lullaby Dragon. I wrote it with my good friend Barbara Josie and my buddy Burton Collins back in Nashville. And it's on our record, and it's out kind of in conjunction with Barb's new book, Lullaby Dragon. And yeah, this is it.
Afraid in her head, wishing for a dragon to chase the monsters beneath her bed. In her room, in the dark, an all alone dragon, alone in his cave, wishing, oh wishing, for a girl he could save. In her room, from the dark, cried a silver tear that on the dragon's ear, and he rumbled and he roared till the monsters disappeared. No more nightmares when I sleep, nevermore, nevermore. No more monsters in the deep, nevermore, nevermore. No more lonely for dragon, no more lonely for a girl. It's just you and me forever, forever, evermore. She sings her songs, lullaby songs. He thumps his tail with all his heart and sings along, loud and proud, and out of tune. Whispers in his ear, only secrets dragons hear, and he wraps his wings around her, so happy that she's near. No more nightmares when I sleep, nevermore, nevermore. No more monsters in the deep, nevermore, oh nevermore. No more lonely for a dragon, no more lonely for a girl. It's just you and me forever, forever, evermore, forevermore. No more nightmares when I sleep, nevermore, not anymore. No more monsters in the deep, nevermore, oh nevermore. No more lonely for a dragon, no more lonely for a girl. It's just you and me forever, forever, evermore. Best friends, best friends, ha.
That's terrific.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There are a lot of, as I'm sure you're aware, as a parent of a couple of kids, there are a lot of efforts to hook kids on music. Do you I mean, we talked about this a little earlier. You know, are you subversively steering kids to a particular genre of music by playing the way you do?
I don't know if I'm that smart. You know, maybe. I think I've allowed myself to think that way a little bit, but at times, again, it's just kind of, I'm kind of waking up and making it up and riding it a little bit. If I'm steering them anywhere, I just hope that maybe I'm steering them to a place. There's a lot of people out there that are doing kids and family music and they're doing it great. I still feel like my niche is a little different than what everybody else is doing, and really sticking on that, this is not that far away from a AAA type thing. I ultimately would love to have a record that they spin on AAA, and families are listening to it Saturday mornings too.
It just happens to be about dragons.
Right. It might be about dragons, you know. But there's a band out right now that's having a big hit called Imagine Dragons, you know. It's time. And so it's like maybe dragons are all the rage right now.
How did the collaboration with Barbara Josie come about?
Well, I have my father, Mark Meckel, to thank for that. And he had met her some time ago. So when we started putting the idea together and I cut one or two tracks, I had a couple of tracks, he said, you know, I think that this lady's really cool and really talented, and she has never written songs before, but maybe it'd be cool if we maybe wrote something with her and maybe even put something with one of her books. And then, I mean, we just hit it off. You know, she's wildly creative. I love her. And I came up to Cedarburg when I was starting to work on the record, and we've written several songs together. I'm not sure what the number is, maybe four, five, six songs, something like that. So, yeah, I have my dad to thank for that.
And there is now an electronic or a virtual component to all of this as well.
Yeah, we got a really cool thing. We got asked to create like a theme song. I don't know that many apps have theme songs. And it's an interactive ebook that's designed for iPads, and it's called Go Go Greta. And a company approached us to do the theme song, and it's pretty cool. Lisa Loeb, the pop star, does all the narration, and they took my tracks and broke them down into stem mixes so you can kind of turn the drums off, the singer off, turn the guitars off, whatever, and it's a really cool little thing.
How much of what you end up recording is influenced by your own kids' tastes?
A lot. They're the beta testers, you know? They were there when I was making the first record, Ready, Set, Go. They were there. I have a really cool studio in my house. It's got its own little entrance and stuff. And I do a lot of start stuff there, like a lot of people do. It's my little laboratory. And then I'll go to another bigger studio and track some stuff and then bring it home and fiddle with it. But they're always kind of eavesdropping on what's happening there. And whenever they started smiling and laughing and giggling and dancing, you know, that's what I was like, okay, I'm onto it there.
They must think it's pretty cool to have a dad that's doing this.
Yeah, I don't know if they would tell you that every day. My son, maybe, because he's seven, so he's still younger. No, they really do. They do dig it.
When it comes to writing lyrics for kids, I mean, we think about adult pop songs, mm-hmm. and, you know, you can take them at face value, and sometimes there's something going on under the surface. You know, obviously, when you're writing a song like Get Up and, you know, about getting up and moving,
sure.
It's pretty superficial.
Right.
But do you strive to have more going on in your songs than maybe the average kid's song does?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's a time and place when if you're going to make a whole record and Happy Racer's going to make their next record, I don't want there to be 10 tracks on there that are thinky the whole way through, but I don't want there to be 10 tracks of fluff either. You know, you got to go out and play them live too, so you got to have some, you know, something that's fun. But absolutely want to continue to talk up to the audience, my audience, whatever that is, and be smart about it and give something more to think about, you know, than just, you know, spoon feed and everything.
Well, you're doing a nice job. Nathan Meckel, thanks so much.
Thank you. So this next song I'm going to play, you know, the Happy Racers is like this, in my mind, is this great mix of something that kids love that doesn't, you know, annoy adults and parents. So, you know, a couple songs I played today are a little more maybe on that blur the line between AAA kind of music, singer-songwriter, pop rock stuff. And this one's definitely a little more for the kids, but it's, you know, it's a huge hit in the live shows and it's very fun. And I know that the school my kids go to, their gym teachers love it. So it's called Move Your Body. Move your body. Move your body. Ready, set, go. Move your body, move your body, move your body more. Move your body, move your body. Get on off the floor. Move your body, move your body, move your body more. Move your body, move your body. Get on out the door. Stand up, wiggle your nose, bend down, touch your toes, ride your back all around the block. air guitar, let me see you rock. Spin like a top, top, spin top, spin like a top.
Nathan Meckel is the man behind the Happy Racers, who will play a show Saturday afternoon at the Cedarburg Cultural Center. There is a link to more information from wuwm.com/lake effect. One last break, and then as we listen to the Happy Racers, we'll hear another couple of musicians inventing new incarnations of themselves. After the break, it'll be Ryan Schleicher and Christopher Porterfield playing some Stephen Foster tunes for us. That's when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.
Move your body. Move your body more. Move your body, move your body. Get on off the floor. Move your body, move your body. Move your body more. Move your body, move your body. Get on out the door.